Hey, y'all, this is the Harlem Gospel Travelers. You can hear our music, more great Sunday go-to-meeting sounds, and everything from blues to funk to Afro-pop to black rock on The Other Black Music with DJ Greatbeard every other Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. on WRIR Richmond Independent Radio, 97.3 FM and WRIR.org.
And you are listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM Richmond, and we call ourselves your community radio station because we are. And it is 2 o'clock in the River City, and you are listening to Global Agogo. And this is Reverend Noah. I'm filling in today for our friend Bill Lupoletti, who passed away on Halloween. So, yeah, today I'm playing some music that he reminds me of him. We have some wonderful folks who are coming by throughout the 2 hours today to talk about their memories and experiences with Bill. He's an integral part of this station. We exist in so many ways because of him, and we've been very lucky. And I had it's the most random thing that I ended up being the person here today DJing, but I felt like I needed to do whatever I could to honor his memory today. We do have some things we always do as a station, and one of them is some PSAs. I'm just going to do a PSA for something local that's important right now. Thriving communities start with full plates, and Feed More is dedicated to helping our neighbors who struggle with hunger. Feed More collects and prepares and distributes more than 30 million meals every year throughout 34 cities and counties in Central Virginia through its programs and network of agencies. For every $1 donated, Feed More can provide 4 healthy meals to our neighbors who need it. To give help or get help, you can visit feedmore.org, feedmore.org. So check that resource out if you need help right now. All right. We just heard Bulgarian Chicks from Balkan Beatbox. And it's interesting. A lot of the music I pulled today for Bill is stuff from the early 2000s. And I think that's because that's when I met him, and that was the music we were listening together to. As I mentioned when I was talking to Straw, one of my favorite things was to do a show with Bill. He would invite me over to his house, and we would sit down. I'd bring a bunch of CDs or records, and we would go through, and then he would listen to something I suggested, and then he would quickly find something that he reminded him from his extensive collection of music. And I always felt like my music was always like, I feel like such a narrow group of places that I liked music from. And he would always find something from somewhere so much further afield and so interesting. And it was just a great fun. And he was so organized. I've never met a DJ who knew to the minute what song would be playing, how long it was, what would be next, how the whole show would go. And he would all work it all out on paper. And we would say it would take hours to prepare for a show with him. And I know DJs now, they show up, pile of records ready to go, and I try to do my best to at least kind of have a sense, but I'm usually doing a fair amount on the fly. But I love that about him. He was so organized, and he knew his stuff. He just cared deeply about music and about the world. And I'm actually gonna, you know what, I was queuing up some other music, but let's actually hear from Bill. This was a recent recording with him talking to James Hickman, a friend of the station, and this was recorded, I think, as part of promotion around raising funds for our capital campaign for the new building we're about to move into. We still need to raise money for that, as well as our current fall fund drive, which just pays for our regular bills, which is important to get to this new space because we're paying double bills right now. So let's take a listen to Bill and James talking recently. I don't know how recently, but this was shared on the DJ list. So let's take a listen.
And I think, you know, that is a source of a lot of power for the organization, is that none of us felt like, well, we had to be experts at this. We were just doing it, and we're going to figure out how to do it as we went along. And you don't, I mean, if Laurie Anderson has a great song on this subject. It's called "Only an Expert." Only an expert could solve this problem. And, you know, of course, it ends up as, you know, the experts, of course, are the ones that get everything wrong all the time. You know, only an expert could decide to invade Iraq, right? it's like, you know, the experts are the ones that run all those commercial radio stations that were so unsatisfactory in Richmond. It's like, if that's what the experts do, then maybe we should let the amateurs have a crack at it. We couldn't possibly do worse, could we? Yeah. And that's what we really say. And, you know, this has turned me into an activist. I never described myself as an activist before, but I am in this project. I'm a media activist. I mean, my activism is around getting people to understand that the airwaves belong to the public. They're yours. And you don't have to sit back passively and be spoon-fed information and entertainment and whatever else pabulum that they're giving you. You can control that yourself. You can make things happen yourself in the media and, by extension, in the rest of your life. I think, you know, I said at the beginning of the recording, you know, the people that I've met, the friendships that I've made, that, you know, and now, I mean, these are people, like, I just went on vacation with Eric Walters. We do this almost every year now. We've become so close. James and I, we could, like, finish each other's sentences, obviously. When's the last time we saw each other? It was months ago, right?
Probably so, yeah.
So we'll have this, you know, the rest of our lives, we've got this relationship.
Yeah,
you know. But I'll say, Denver,
Mike Rutz.
Yeah,
I've got probably
you have lots
25
of people,
people that are very close friends of mine, just because of this project.
Well, you know, we talked about James having parties down here. These are the people who are at these parties.
Yeah, man, my DJ scene right there. I need another turntable.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm working on that.
But you know, for me, you know, because unlike James, I do a show, and I've done a show every week for like 20 years now. And this is like an organizing principle of my life now. I don't want to be one of these people where, like, it's some volunteer, you know, community or public radio station where they are, like, waiting for you to leave. You know, then they don't know what the right thing to say is to say, you know, your time is over. I don't think my time is over. I think my show is pretty good now. I think it's better than it's ever been, actually. But I don't want to overstay my welcome. I hope I don't. But yeah, I mean, and I've had a very difficult last 5 years. I don't know if you know this. I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer 5 years ago. But I'm still here. 1 in 20 chance. So that's pretty good. And I missed about 7 months when I was first diagnosed, when things were really bad. James saw me in the hospital, so he knows how bad it was. but I'm proud to say that I've been able to do the show the whole time other than that. And this is, for some of that time, it's really the thing that kept me going. So that's really important to me. If I didn't have that, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, my life would be very, very different.
Wow.
Yeah, very different.
So you've got the listener that's getting, you know, the mosaic of Richmond from the radio, and you've got the people that are volunteering that are getting that type of personal growth. This is that personal growth thing I'm talking about. People are doing this because it's for their personal growth, you know? You get a lot out of it. It's really an interesting phenomena, the volunteer world. When you hit it right, when you get it right.
Ce rături, măi. camerouă și pășeață, ca atunci că ișor să hață. Și stau cu puica pe brațe, și stau cu puica pe brațe, și mă satur de dulceață, și mă satur de dulceață, măi. Așa le place la toți, măi. Dă-mi drumul de la pripon, ți-aduc tatăl cailor, măi. Dă-mi drumul de la fringhie, dă-mi drumul de la fringhie, să-ți adun o herghelie, să-ți adun o herghelie, măi. N-aveam loc de păgubaș, ale vere păgubaș, ale vere păgubaș. Ia dă-mi ea din aldămaș, măi, ia dă-mi ea din aldămaș, măi. Ți-am furat caii din graș, ți-am furat caii din graș. Cine-am furat să trăiască, feream păgubaș plesnească, măi, 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 măi. Că hoțul e cu un păcat, a călica și-a plecat. Păgubașul e cu o mie, că n-are pășii să puie, că n-are pășii să puie.
All right. That was Taraf de Haiduc. Sure, I'm not saying that right. Spune Mos Patrin from Honorable Brigand's Magic Horses and Evil Eye from 1994. I guarantee I would never have heard of that group if it had not been for Bill Lupoletti. Like, I even look at the collection, I'm like, how would I have even had this otherwise? I would not have. Our wonderful friend Fontaine is here in the studio with
us. Hi,
Noah. I've known you for a long time, too.
Thank you for doing the show today. I know a lot of DJs and friends and are listening and calling in, and I feel for Alyssa, of course.
Yeah.
And on the WRIR end, you know Bill would be really happy if you helped support our station today.
Really would.
I mean, not even making that up.
Yeah.
He was, as the guest before Jerry said, he had great fundraising skills and emails and truly passionate about the station. So
yeah,
I want to do something to support him. You know, to support the station.
That really is it. That's it in a nutshell, right there. This is if you loved Bill, he loved this station.
And I think in that interview, the interview that you played a little while ago.
Yeah,
I think he said something to the effect of, his life would be so different if WRAR wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And that hit home to me, too. It's like, you know, I'm not Bill, but the little thing I do, that's kind of my reason for being, you know, at this point in my time. That's what I've been doing for so many decades. It's like, what would I be doing in my life without independent radio, specifically WRAR?
And I'll tell you what I love is, as folks have been coming in to talk, and everybody who's come in has some very long connection to the station. Many of it have not actually met in person. Just recognized by voice, know the show.
Right.
And, you know, look, he's continuing to connect people.
Absolutely. You know, that's a great point. And yeah, I met you here at WRAR, but I probably should have known you earlier because we were both kicking around
the Richmond
scene for a while.
Yeah.
So some listeners might not know, but Bill Lupoletti, along with Charles Williams and Eric Walters, previously DJed in Richmond a thing called Channel 36 Color Radio.
Oh.
Back in the day. Have you heard of this, Noah?
No, tell me about it.
Even Noah doesn't know. All right. So it was before internet radio, obviously, but it was sort of an analog, and that's the right word, version of it back in the day. So cable TV in Richmond, this is way early. This is old school days.
Wow, yeah.
It was the
kids.
Cable
TV was... No.
But it was so early in cable TV that there were only 35... The highest number, like, actual channel was 35, and channel 36 was color bars. It was like horizontal bars of different colors, and it had the name of the color, like cyan, magenta, gold, so that people could adjust the color on their TV, because those were the TVs back then. And it also had the date and the time. And somebody came up with the brilliant, who was it? I forget who, but somebody came up with the brilliant idea, you know, former college radio DJ said, hey, we would love to be the soundtrack for that.
Oh.
So they called up Continental Cablevision, which was, you know, now Comcast, the version, the name it had at the time. And it ended up, it was, of course, now I'm going to try to say the name, I'm blanking on the name. I'll think of his name in a minute, but he was actually working there, and he was also a college radio guy, so he actually said yes.
I love
Which is
that.
So crazy to think of now, like, who in the hell would want to give these random early 20s strangers
access
audio for our TV channel?
Yes. Oh.
But it came to be, and it was called Channel 36, because that's what channel was on, / Color Radio, because the color bars.
Oh, my gosh.
So Bill Lupoletti was one of the DJs there, as, again, also were Charles Williams and Eric Walters and maybe some other folks that have been DJing up here. So I didn't meet Bill back then. But I met him years later and asked him, what was the name of your radio show? And he told me he couldn't remember. I'm like, you can't remember. How can you not remember? But I've inherited a bunch of artifacts from color radio. I don't know if anyone's ever seen some photos. But all right, so you earlier were talking about being in the basement of this building in the, like, 2004 era, pre-FM era of WRIR. So this Channel 36 Color Radio, where Bill was DJing back in the day, it had, like, a door on cinder blocks for, like, the control table or whatever. And there was a mannequin arm holding the microphone. That was my favorite part. How very arty or whatever.
Yes.
You know? And there was this tiny little mixer, like, probably about the size of what we have between those two turntables over there, controlling the whole thing. And there were two turntables, a cassette deck. I think that was it. And the microphone held by the mannequin hand. Again, this is my favorite part. So that's where...
I love it.
I think that's Bill's first Richmond radio experience. I remember him telling me, being in Chicago, I think that's where he went to college. So he probably, I feel pretty sure he did college radio there. So
so always DJing in some way.
Yeah.
And then came here and was part of the original crew of folks who made this station possible.
So Bill, yes, like you just said. So I was DJing for many, many, many years, decades actually, over at the college radio station at University of Richmond. And summer of 2008, the university decided to move the radio station from the third floor of the Commons building to the basement of, speaking of basements, basement of a different building. Although, at least in this case, they fixed up the basement real nice. So it was off the air for what turned out to be 5 months. And people had been trying to encourage me to come to WRAR. So I finally said, okay. I switched my Friday nights from 9 to midnight at the other station, not supposed to other call letters, to Friday nights at 9 o'clock at WRIR. And Bill invited me with open arms, like, hey, come up on my Global Agogo show, which at the time was 5 to 7 p.m. Fridays. Come up and I'll, you know, welcome you on air. And, you know, so that was awesome. It was so great that he invited me. And one of the, so I got to play a couple songs during that show. And one of them was the thing that I had brought here today. And it's off of a compilation that, so I think we're going to play it next.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll play it next.
So it's off a compilation that David Byrne from Talking Heads put together in 1989. Brazil Classics 1, Beleza Tropical. And it's Jorge Ben. I can't say it right because I don't know Portuguese, but it's Ponte de Lanca Africana, parentheses, Babaruma, which is apparently was a big hit song or whatever. It was played a lot in a lot of Brazilian football games over the years. This song came out in 1976. And, oh, actually, I heard it as background for it, an ad on TV, and I was like, oh, I love this song. What is it? And it took me like a couple of years to actually track down what it was.
Yeah.
And I found it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this song.
And this is something for folks to think about because it's so easy now to research something, to, like, yeah. use a app to listen to something and tell you what it is or to go Google.
Didn't have that back then.
No. And I was listening to that show that we did together in 2005, and I was playing some CDs I bought in Japan, and they were all written in Japanese, and I could not read them. I did not know what they said.
Right.
And you couldn't know. That was it. We were like, I don't know the title.
You need
title.
Freddie J.
I was like, that. Yeah, you need somebody who could read Japanese. But it was wild because, like, that was it. We just didn't know. That was.
So Bill didn't either. I thought you said Bill knew what it
said. Oh, no, he didn't know Japanese. No, so we would just be like, yeah, we can't read this. But I knew what the track was because it was music I'd listened to as a kid. So I knew what it was, but I couldn't. You know, there was no easy way to get the information, so it's so different. And of course, you could just talk to Bill, and he would tell you probably. He would be able to give you all kinds of facts. All right, so we're going to play that next. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I think that's it, but it was just, it just hit so hard, you know. I know he'd been sick for a long time, but then all of a sudden you hear he's actually gone. You're like, whoa, what?
Well, he was sick, but then he was here, and he was working, and he was doing his show again, and you know, this is how helpful and kind Bill was, that he, you know, would bring us in, do his show with us, but also I needed to do a show when they were repairing the equipment in here, and, mm-hmm. and I had never done a remote show before, because a lot of people did remote shows during COVID, and I didn't, and I was like, I don't know how to do that, and Bill said, come to the station, and I will teach you.
Oh, wow.
And he sat down with me, and he went step by step, took hours of his time to show me how to do it, and he showed me how to build a show from scratch so that I could do it, so that I could have this program that could air when the station wasn't possible. That's just what he would do. And so, I mean, we just got to spend that time together, and I'm so grateful for it.
I remember having a long conversation with him. You know, time is so weird now,
yeah,
especially since COVID. At least a year ago, maybe two, where we had like a half-hour-long conversation in the hallway at WRIR about his health travels. And at the time, he was in a good spot, but he's like, but there's a limited amount of time for this. Even though this is a good therapy I'm taking, there's a limited time on it.
We don't know.
I did see him. The last time I remember for sure that I saw him was at a Eugene Chadbourne show. So that's kind of perfect. You know that name, right?
No.
Oh, you don't? Like Shockabilly.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
So,
a music memory. All right. I'm going to try
miss you,
this.
Bill.
It's been a minute since I played a CD. So we're going to press this button and we're going to see if music plays. And this should be Jorge.
Bill told me it was pronounced Jorge. Looks like Jorge, but Jorge Portuguese.
Ben.
Jorge
Ben. Right, let's try it here on WRIR.
de umba para uma, um ponta de lança africano, um ponta de lança decidido.
This is Carl, and you're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. Tune in for If Music Could Talk every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m., featuring music from many different parts of the world, exploring classic and modern music in a diverse mix of styles, formats, languages, and genres, inspiring your curiosity about the rhythms, sounds, vibes, and voices of the world around us. If Music Could Talk, where music says it all, every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. on WIR.
All right, folks. Pull this down here. And we have a party in the station. There are so many. Is everybody's voices there? And more people are coming. More. This is a wonderful way to spend the last 30 minutes of our show here today. Global Agogo, in memory of Bill Lupoletti, who shed this mortal coil on Halloween. Gosh, I mean, this is a little who's who of the station right now. Come up to the mic. Say hi. Tell people who you are, why you're here, what's going on.
Hi, I'm Jesse. Jesse Ormland. Do Saturday nights here at the station and been involved for a long time. But I know we just felt compelled to come up here and just be part of this. We hear everybody's telling all these great stories, all the interview with James, yeah. And it's just really bringing it all back together on what an impact Bill had here. And yeah.
You're another lifer here. You're another lifer with the station.
Been here. Tried to.
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. I do remember the first event that I went to for the station was at Liz Hume's house.
Yeah.
And we unpacked the transmitter that I think we bought off of eBay at the time. I think it was off of eBay.
Wow.
And, you know, just one of those glorious moments, and we're holding up, and then, like, this is the key, the transmitter, and everybody just applauding and clapping.
Gosh.
And it just, since then I was hooked.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew I had to.
Got to be involved.
I found
an email from Liz from 2004 that was that's the first thing that my storage that's related to WRAR,
right.
Which is her saying, graphic design? Well, let me tell you all these projects we have that you could work on.
Right.
I was like, whoa, hold on here. But it was amazing.
Yeah, so many people put in so many hours throughout these years, 20 years.
Do you remember when you met Bill?
I think it was probably at a board meeting. I got involved wanted to help, you know, more and more, just like, first it was a radio show and I wanted to get my music out there because I didn't feel like techno and all that was really getting any airplay at the time. And then I showed up to meetings to see how I could help because I was a radio man in the military. So I felt like some of those technical skills could help.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, progressed and eventually was the president for a while. And I benefited from Bill Lupoletti and his expertise in numbers and things like that.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I cannot take credit for how smooth things went at times because it was people like Bill Lupoletti who made sure that they went smooth.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like clever math, like reverse engineering, trying to figure out how many listeners we actually had on the FM airwaves because we're not included in Nielsen, right? It's like you got to pay like 30 grand, 40 grand or something to be included in those numbers. So we really don't know for sure. But he would take national averages for public radio and how many people would donate and all these like really exotic math equations to come up with that number.
Wow.
And when he came up with that number, you were like, yes, that is the number.
That's definitely
like, like I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that. He was just
he made sure we were financially secure and he made sure that we were representing the globe.
Yep.
I mean, he really just he worked so hard.
Yeah, and then musically, his inspiration from all, I'm looking around in the studio now and just seeing all the CDs that he curated in world music.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And the inspiration that he gave me within my genre, you know, spilled out into.
Yeah, don't just go for the narrow.
Yeah, so, just amazing stuff from all over the world. And yeah. I would take that and try to incorporate that in my music somehow, or at least inspire me somehow.
Yeah, so listen beyond the usual, what you're mm-hmm. you're used to.
Yeah, the corporate spoon-fed top 10 playlist of whatever company has decided to pay for the marketing at that moment.
Right, and we've never had to do that here.
No.
And we're not beholden to anyone.
Yeah, and, you know, and that was, I think that was the thing that Bill wanted to push forward, too, is that, I mean, I was listening to the interview with James Hickman, and he talked all about that, how we're not beholden to anybody.
No, we don't have to worry about, you know, obviously we have to do FCC laws, but other than that, we can say what we want to say.
Right.
And we don't have to worry about our funding being cut.
Right. That's why we're asking for money.
That is
why.
But a segue there to say, yes. Yeah.
But we're, you know, community driven, which and all the volunteers here are from the community. So the news, the views, the music, all that are from your neighbors.
Yeah.
So not dictated by some corporate office in some other city that doesn't.
There are more and more people doing fix the levels for me.
Wow.
And more people are coming. I love it. It's getting warm in here, but in the best possible way. This is the warmth of Bill Lupoletti we're feeling. Thank you for coming by and sharing. And everybody who's DJing, I'm sure, will have continued to share stories. But I'm so grateful you're all here, because I don't want to be alone doing this. And then when I started the show an hour and a half ago, I was like, no one was here. And I was like, okay, play a song really, really loud and just enjoy that music. Who else would like to talk? Please, let's just keep it going. You're all here. Come on up. Come on, come on, come on. It's not like you're not used to talking on the microphones, y'all.
I'm so shy right now.
I know. Ooh, what do you do?
I mean, this is like
introduce yourself.
I'm Michael Miracle. I do the Lotus Land Show on Wednesday nights, and I've known Bill for the better part of 20 years at the station. Started with we went to that Quaker House meeting, and I think he was there. I met him, and Alan Levenberg and James Hickman was there. It was the core group who really helped get this on the air. I have to say, you know, he's one of those people that just, you know, having served on the board with him, and when he would show up, he operated on such a high level. And if you've known him, you know what I'm talking about. It was a high level of intelligence, but also integrity.
Yeah.
And enthusiasm. And every interaction with him was just so genuine. You could just tell that it's like, you know,
he cared deeply.
He cared. I was almost cussed on the air, but I won't.
Don't do that. Don't get us in trouble.
I do know the
FCC
rules.
I don't know if the dump button's working.
I don't think it is right now. but anyway, I was always just so impressed. And Jesse, you were just talking about how he always showed up very prepared. I mean, every meeting it was just like spreadsheets of numbers
reports,
and
multi-page reports.
Yes, reports. And in the way his level of presentation and it was, everything was always so thoroughly researched, which, you know, was evident in his show. Every show wasn't just like willy-nilly, this is some songs I heard, maybe they could connect somehow. It was like he everything was thoroughly researched. We were hanging out last night in his honor and, you know, raising a glass to him, and we were talking about how he would take the time to learn how to pronounce everything.
Yes.
And
he would tell you, like, this is the right way to say it.
The correct pronunciation, because he was so researched through his show. And but anyway, so that's the inspiration I take from Bill, is his level of just enthusiasm and integrity. And also, just watching him on the air and kind of drawing from his professionalism, even though we're all... we all say we're amateur DJs, but we've all been doing this for so long.
If you're doing it for 20 years, I think you can maybe take
the mantle.
We just
aren't getting paid, y'all. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
But, just, you know, he always, I would listen to his shows, and I'm like, man, I really need to bring it up a little bit. And that was what I took away, is like kind of bringing your show up to that level of build-em, so to speak, you know?
Yes. That reminds me that I remember doing one of the cause and effect shows, mm-hmm. and the biggest honor was when he called in to say, I had done a good job and he'd learned from it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like that was,
right.
that's the bar right there.
Anywho, we're going to miss him incredibly for many, many, many years. And I think Richmond, it's a huge loss for Richmond and the Richmond music culture and just culture.
Yeah. You know,
so.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep his name alive forever at the station.
For sure.
in a variety of ways. I know plans are already being spoken about.
Word.
We will make sure that he is honored in the ways that will keep him forefront, right,
yeah,
for this station. As we move to a beautiful new space, I only wish...
I wish you could have gotten to see it. And I think he was really excited. That was another thing, too. He was really excited about this new project, this new phase of WRIR, and spoke about it enthusiastically, you know, and still showed up to the meetings for it when he thought he could, you know, and still had things to bring to the table as far as, I mean, that was one of the things about him. He's like, if you really, you would ask him something, and then, you know, you were getting the real answer. It wasn't, because everything was very thoughtful and he wasn't just like making it up.
No,
you know, because he just knew that. It was like, man, he said that must mean, because like he said, it was information with integrity.
Yes.
So anywho, I want to pass it on to someone else.
Yes.
Thanks for doing the show today. Big hug to everyone out there who's hurting right now.
Yes.
The whole Richmond community. Love y'all. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you. Please continue to come up. Who else would like to speak? Say who you are. Share some memory of Bill.
My name is Matt Zoller, and I wasn't one of the founders. I came in kind of 5 or 6 years into it, and I really enjoyed Bill's show right away. We talked about sort of Afrobeat and what had been on the radio before in the old CVE days, and I can remember being excited whenever the Folk Festival guy came out. I'd sort of come in and say, "Who do what I miss?"
Cause Bill would know.
I wouldn't know any of the names there, but he did. He knew them.
Yeah.
One of the things that was great, and I'm trying to get the date right, I think it was earlier this year, we had one of our first Studio C Live things since the pandemic. I don't think we're doing it nearly the pace that we used to do, but we had Miramar, and it was just a wonderful, it was a pull the car over to the side of the road because you're going to swoon. It sounded so good. And I was so proud of the station, and I was proud of Bill, and I was proud of those guys. And yeah, just the enthusiasm and the excitement for this idea. It's he is missed. Missed a lot.
And so. I saw through the DJ list, they said Studio C wouldn't exist without him, is what was said.
I remember also liking he had a really gentle sort of political sense where he knew that music needed to start earlier in the day. We were doing talk from like 7 to 5 or 7 to 7. I can't remember how early it was, but he said, we can still have our integrity and our programming and our talk programming and all that, but we got to start the music earlier. And I really think that one of the advantages RIR has had is when other public or non-commercial stations might be doing news and that sort of thing, we're a chance to get away from that.
Yeah.
We had some really cool stuff on in the morning, and you could find it, but I thought, and that was absolutely a Bill Lupoletti, and doing it gently, just sort of checking, not, you know, because there are going to be people who are going to stand and fight for not changing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he was elegant in the way that he did that, and I miss him a lot.
Yeah.
He brought numbers for that argument.
Yeah, of course he did. That's funny because the and please, whoever wants to come up, I was looking through my archives again, trying to just find some early communications, and one of the first emails I saw from Bill was him telling me that I had done something wrong. It was actually him saying, do not send press releases to the station email. Do this instead, and this, and here's the exact number. And then the bomb's like, if you didn't send that, then never mind. It was just like, but it was like a very organized, explaining exactly the right way to do it. And I was like, and I had saved that email. Clearly, I was like, this is important. I better save this. So, you know, he didn't suffer fools either. Yeah.
Can I give a quick shout out to Matt Zoller that you just heard from? He was the guy at Continental Cable Vision that said yes to Channel 36 Color Radio.
The reason that existed. What a story that was. And the door is chiming. Okay.
I got to Richmond in 1979, and Continental Cable Vision was just starting that up, and I had. I thought we were going to pull on the microphone. We had, back then, there wasn't any ESPN or CNN or anything. It was like Channel 5 out of Washington, and there was something that was called Color Test Bars, and it was a Channel 36.
Yeah.
And it was just so you could tune the thing. There was nothing behind it.
Fontaine.
It's wild.
And somebody said, we should do the radio behind that. And somebody said, I know Matt Zoller, who did college radio at William & Mary. He's a Continental. We'll hook up. And I read it by the boss, and we said, sure. And so above the old Plan 9. The first four or five generations of Plan 9 ago, it was color radio.
Amazing.
And Terry Ray, who's a friend of the station, a friend of Bill Lupoletti's, was part of that,
some
too. But yeah,
as
was Fontaine, right?
Charles. Mm-hmm. Charles was on it.
Yeah. Charles, you wanna chat for a bit?
Sure.
Yeah. An appropriate person to talk today.
First of all, I want to remind people that you can come up to the station, 1621B West Broad Street, if you opted to pick up your premiums.
Oh, thank you for doing the things we're supposed to be doing today that we're all forgetting because it's a little distracting.
Someone will be here till 4 o'clock. Just ring the bell downstairs and they'll let you in.
And I should say WRIR.org is also the place to go if you need to, if you'd like to donate and volunteer. And
whatever you can donate, we'll take. But the fun stuff starts at the premium level.
There you go.
All right. Yeah.
Say who you are.
Oh, I'm Charles. Charles Graybeard, I guess. Who's Charles? Graybeard on the radio and do the other black music, which will be on next week, 3 to 5, sharing that time slot with David O'Dowdy and Ambience Congo, which will be coming up next. And then also we alternate every Sunday, 5 to 7, with the Motherland Influence, African, Latin, and Caribbean sounds. And I can't remember how I met. I guess I met him here. But we instantly start trading music, basically, and just it was kind of cool to talk to somebody about music who I didn't have to explain stuff to.
Yeah. He explained it to you, right?
Yeah, really. It was funny. Somebody mentioned the pronunciation.
Yeah.
I don't know how often I come into the studio and play a song, and I go to the microphone and realize I've never said this out loud before.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen it. No, not quite that bad. But I was always amazed at his organization. I have attention issues and can, like, go off in the middle of a sentence, and he can just stay focused on something, a subject, for, like, ever. You know, I was always impressed with that. But we did music together, but also we were birding nerds. And we went on birding trips together, like down to Virginia Beach, to Monkey Island, First Landing River, James River, the parks, some of the state parks around. Lisa, Bill, and I would go out to Matthews County just to be bird nerds. And so we probably did more of that than we did music trips. And I'm going to miss him big time.
Yeah. He's a
really good friend. And
somebody with, you know, there's so much dimension, right? Because we can talk about music because of the station, but to hear this other side.
Yeah, there was other side.
And he was a good friend.
Yeah, very good friend. So was Alyssa. And well, still Alyssa is, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our love goes out to her.
Yeah. And I think there are plans to rerun some of his shows. I'll be doing his show next week.
Yeah.
But after that, they're going to do reruns of his program, so you'll still get to hear his knowledge.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Anybody else?
Thank you, Graham.
You are.
Yeah, who's come on up. Yeah. This is going to be the rest of the hour, which is absolutely great.
Yeah, I think I've met most of you in passing.
Well, so introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Vlad, a friend of Bill's, and I've known him for 13 years, I think. And actually, I have the business card that he gave me when I first met him in August of 2012. And I also dug out the CD from the first show that I co-hosted here in 2012 as well. I fully agree with what you guys have said about Bill so far. I was contemplating, like, should I come or should I not come? But as soon as you play Tarab de Hedux, I'm like, oh. I just got very emotional.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
No, thank you. I think this is what we want folks to know, that he touched lives deeply. And like I said, there's this email chain that we've got going right now, and just story after story after story. And then you keep learning new things, you know, about him. I mean, he was just a person who gave a lot and cared a lot. And we were so lucky that he was here on the station. I'm glad y'all are here. Please continue to talk. Please do.
DJ Ginger, and Bill actually subbed for me back in September for my show. It's Midtown Swing, and you can find it. He did the September 17th show, and so if you want to hear Bill outside of the Global Agogo sphere, it's an amazing show, of course, and he's playing like country music and like queer country music, and it's really awesome. So, and it's still, I mean, the link is there. It's September 17th. You know, maybe we can make it, maybe we can share it like on our social media for WRIR. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I knew I was going to be out for 3 weeks on vacation, and I put out the call, and Bill said, of course, I'd love to do your show. And so he came and did that. And I mean, I asked Bill way back when I was doing Wednesday Breakfast Blend, to help me, help advise me on finding African funk music to play on that show. Because I used to play a lot of American funk music. And I was like, okay, I feel like I've played a lot of that after a couple of years. And I want to expand. Who should I play that is from the Afropop and Afrofunk scene? And he, of course, followed through and said, here, just come meet me at the radio station. And like, we went to the CD shelves, which we're all standing around right now, and there's this whole section of world music, and he was just like, here, these are some of the key CDs that you can just pick out of here. You don't even have to spend money. You can just pick them out. And that's just Bill. That's him in a nutshell, being so generous with his time and expertise. And, you know, willing to do that for anybody who would tune in. Yeah. or ask him. And I just, I'm going to miss him so much. Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, thank you to him and to Alyssa for being, you know, radio station stalwarts for so long. I mean, just being a really important part of making me and so many other people feel welcome. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, thanks for having this opportunity for all of us to kind of gather here and talk about him. Of course.
Thank you for sharing that. And yeah. I think what's incredible is for a station that's to be 20 years old and have so many people that have been from the day one still here, which says so much about what a wonderful place it is. Because at the same time, there's brand new people. So there's always new people. But at the same time, it's somewhere that's been so caring, loving, supportive. If you want to learn to do how to DJ, you come here and you will learn, and you will be given the support and knowledge you need. And here we are. Come on up. Keep it coming, y'all. This is what we got. We got about 10 more minutes, and we want to hear more stories.
This will be fast.
No.
I actually don't like talking on the air, but I'm Melissa, and I do a Wednesday night show, Mercury Falls. And actually, I saw Bill the September 17th. He hung out after the show, and we talked for about 20 minutes. And that was the last time I saw him, and I was looking back at him, really happy that he was here. I was like, wow, he's like hanging out. This is so cool, because he... If you knew Bill, like, anytime you talked to him, you always learned something. It didn't matter what it was about. He just knew so much, and he just wanted to share so much information. And, yeah, I met him, I'm pretty sure, before I got on the air, which was in 2004. So that year, I met him, and I remember meeting him and Alyssa at Plan 9. And I ended up volunteering with the fundraising committee for over 10 years. And he, there's a lot here at the station that wouldn't be as it is without him because of his input. Like everybody said, he would show up to our meetings with like statistics and like charts and everything just to make sure like, hey, let's get this right. And he broke down every day, like how much money we would need for the fund drives. He was huge in the fund drives. Fundraising, everything. And also on top of that, you know, I think he kept everybody in mind. And anytime he knew, anytime he found a, you know, music that he thought you would like, you would get an email from him like, hey, I think you would really like this. This would really be great on your show. And anyway, I just wanted to, give a shout out to him and Alyssa, and, he'll be missed, but he will be remembered too.
Yes.
Thanks, Noah.
Thank you. Anyone else want
to? I think I might be able to find.
Okay, you got the words together.
Get myself together. Yeah. And the thing about Bill is that he deeply cared about the world.
And what I mean by that is he cared about specific cultures, countries, people. He really cared about it. The last show I did with him was in March of this year, I think. And it was dedicated to the music of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told him, hey, Bill, you know, the situation currently is not that great. It was, I think, February 28th after the disastrous meeting in the White House or whatever. And I said, hey, Bill, it would be really great to highlight the music of Ukraine, the resilience of the people. And he said, yes, let's do it. Like, no questions asked. And he, of course, helped me put the set together. But what I really wanted to highlight is the deep, genuine care that he had, what ultimately is the world. He cared about individual, like small ethnicities and like very obscure music that nobody else would care about. You know, not to mention that he immediately knew where I was from. I'm from Moldova, and he's like immediately knew where the country is.
I probably could tell you 12 artists that were like central.
Pretty much. And it was just incredible to meet somebody like that, because, you know, you don't really meet people like him that often.
No.
And
one of a kind.
Absolutely. And we kept in touch, you know, for the past 13 years, just as all of you, like, we've been friends, basically. Like, first I started with the radio. And back when I did my first show here, I was, like, 17 or 18. You know, I knew nothing about, like, being a DJ or being on the radio. But Bill, you know, meticulously showed me the way, basically. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense to play a song in D minor after a song in G sharp or something like that. Or the BPM is like way too high. Like, the flow, like, that, there has to be a flow. And I learned just so much from Bill. You know, anyway, he'll be missed deeply. And I just wanted to, you know, I'm glad I got myself together and was able to say a few words. But
this is all very fresh for everyone here. I mean, this just happened.
And my love goes to Alyssa and the family. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I should do a little bit of housekeeping, and we have some PSAs. I like to read them. And this one, I think it's important right now because we know there's a lot of food insecurity. So Richmond Food Not Bombs helps those in need of a meal, but it's not. It is about solidarity, not charity. Food Not Bombs is an international organization devoted to ending poverty and war. And in Richmond, they've been sharing a free vegetarian meal every week for over 30 years. Meals are served and groceries are distributed every Sunday in Monroe Park at 4 p.m. And if you'd like to join or in need of food, you can message them on Instagram at Richmond Food Not Bombs, at Richmond Food Not Bombs, or show up at Monroe Park Sunday at 4 p.m. Food is a right, not a privilege. All right. We're a few minutes out, and David's here to do his show, but he disappeared. I'm going to play a track then. This is this song, of course, this is a song that Bill introduced me to. It's a cover, and I love cover songs, and it's a cover of a Clash song, and his opening music features Joe Strummer from The Clash, and so I know he would like that, so here we go.
حد منهم واحد منهم بالجيتار على قرب البندير يضرب من الحدود خرجوا من الحدود خرجوا خرجوا من
Thank you, Noah, for a great show, for filling in for Bill. I'm David. I'm here with you every other Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. bringing you Congolese music, one of the only places you'll hear it on the airwaves in the United States of America. And we can thank WRIR for that. We can thank Bill Lupoletti for opening the doors to this kind of music here in Richmond. I also want to thank Greybeard, who actually dragged me along in tow over here.